and welcome to the First Round Flick podcast. I'm Sandra Dugan.
And I'm Eric Dugan.
And we are two ordinary movie lovers just like you.
Each week, we sit down and draft our top five movies in a given category. The rules of the draft are simple. We alternate picks until we each have five. But this week, I am not drafting. We have a special guest, Cameron.
Hi, Cam.
How are you?
Doing great. And this week, we're going to be covering Disney Channel original movies. So we definitely needed somebody else because I didn't have the Disney Channel. I'm not familiar. But Cameron, you are a self-professed expert.
I was self-professed until I realized there were 105 in the backlog.
Well, that means that we're going to have a lot of good material here. So yeah. I guess we'll go ahead and roll the dice.
Guests go first.
All right.
Three.
Two. Uh-oh. Just one with a three.
All right, Cameron. This means that you get to make the first selection.
All right. With my first round flick, I will be taking Brink.
I had to get back all this cool stuff.
Ooh, sponsored skaters. Big deal.
It is a big deal. Team X plays rules. Everybody knows that.
Speaking of which, we got a photo shoot we're trying to do here. Mind getting lost?
Mind if I kick your butt?
Wait. We had to pit first. You know how it is.
Yeah, but we have it now. Mm-hmm. See, you guys left.
That's a great choice.
Was that on your list?
It would have been like eight.
Okay.
But it is. It's a great movie.
I thought about taking it later, but this is my favorite Disney Channel movie of all time. And if I didn't get it, I would have been very upset. Brink came out in 1998. It's the story of Andy Brinker, an inline skater, and his three friends, Gabriella, Peter, and Jordy. And they are self-professed soul skaters. They skate for the love of skating itself.
Unsponsored, correct? That's the big plot.
That's it, because they go up against rival team, Team X-Blades, led by Val.
One of the greatest Disney Channel villains.
By far. Val's played by Sam Horrigan, and there's a great YouTube video called The Look of him staring Brink down at their final downhill race. Everyone should go check that out.
I remember the part in this movie where he throws like pebbles or something to trip
Gabriella,
and it's a big, terrible...
It's a big dust up. Yeah. Gabriella ends up with some pretty severe injuries and seems to spend 3 weeks in bed, if I remember right, recovering.
Yeah, it was a great movie. I think it's also, this is the year before they started just like printing movies. So this is one of the movies that made them realize, hey, we have a good thing going with these Disney Channel original movies.
Exactly. I think all of my movies came out between 1998 and 2002, and this was the highest rated on Rotten Tomatoes at 76%. Unfortunately, it doesn't get much better from there.
Yeah, these are not highly rated films. If you're not familiar with Disney Channel original movies, that you are not getting class A films here, but they are also memorable and great.
Not highly rated, but very, very important to me. This was the movie that made young Cameron get inline skates for Christmas.
Yes.
Because between this and the X Games, I thought I was going to be the next Tony Hawk, Dave Mira, or Brink.
So how did that go for you?
It went fine for me, but the first time I took my skates out to the local skate park, my friend Daniel tried them on, who's about half my size, and broke his leg dropping in for the first time. So sorry, Daniel.
That was the end of your soul cycle, gang.
Yeah, really sorry, Mrs. Laurie. That was my fault that Daniel broke his leg.
If you're out there, Mrs. Laurie, we're sorry.
I was always way too afraid of concrete to do stuff like that.
That was the end of my skating career as well.
Well, that's a great choice. I really like that movie too. I think it was one of my brother's favorites.
It's by far the best.
Okay, well, I'm going to draft another Disney Channel classic, and that is Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century.
Chelsea's notions. When I tell you the real reason I squeaked, you're going to nova. No, wait. Supernova. Guaranteed.
Oh, just tell me.
Microbe is coming here for the very first rock concert in space.
What happened? What did I miss?
Xenon says Microbe's coming right to this very station. Not a giant screen performance, not a hologram. They're appearing in their lunarious, heart-fluttering flesh. I heard it on the CRR news!
Great pick. I remember this one coming out pretty vividly.
This is part one of the acclaimed Xenon trilogy, acclaimed by me. and those around me. But it is a fantastic movie. It has its own vocabulary, which surpassed the movie. I don't know about everybody, but I still say Cetus Lapidus. And people at that time adopted some of those Xenon-isms that they talk about in the movie. I think one of them is definitely saying major at the end of things. Like, that is terrifying major, or that is great major. And the song Supernova Girl and Protozoa and his band, I think, are everlasting Disney Channel movie classic. Just can't get better than Xenon. It was also so future, and little Sandra loved future and space, and this one was everything. It had all those gadgets. They used basically iPads to talk to each other, but back then that was really crazy.
Yeah, young Cameron was a huge space nerd, and I was extremely jealous of what they had going on. I think this movie takes place in 2049.
Yes.
Which is not that far away, so hopefully we'll get there soon.
Yeah, we have a few years, so we need to start living in space stations.
We definitely got to step that up.
The plot of this movie is kind of irrelevant, but basically she lives in a space station and is grounded to Earth for misbehaving and is trying to get back on the space station to, you know, solve a big problem. But the cast is great. So Kirsten Storm and Raven Simone play the two best friends. Kirsten playing the titular Xenon and Raven playing Nebula, her best friend on the space station.
Was this the first appearance of Raven in Disney Channel?
I'm not sure,
history? But
it's definitely the first one I remember. Definitely. I think it's the one that comes to mind as earliest, youngest Raven. And the two of them went on to do greater and bigger things. Obviously, we know Raven Simone's catalog a little bit, but Kirsten became a fairly famous soap opera star. So she spent a lot of time doing Days of Our Lives in General Hospital, and she's still very prolific in the soap star world. You never know where a Disney Channel career will take you, you know?
You never know.
Yeah.
I did watch some That's So Raven. That's the extent of my experience with that.
Eric's contributions to this pod are going to be chef's kiss.
It's not often that I'm left completely in the dark about movies, and I have no idea what you're talking about. This is really exciting for me.
This movie was also based on a book. I don't think anyone has ever read the book. I don't know. Please let us know if you've read the book. I'd be very curious to hear if it was good. So this movie was originally meant to be a pilot. They were going to do a TV series about Xenon, but they decided to make it an original movie instead. And I am so glad. This movie came out in 1999, and it's one of the years that Disney decided to just put out as many Disney Channel movies as possible. I think this wasn't the year where they put out 12, but it was close. I think it was 10 movies this year. So there's a couple other great movies released this year. And 1999 is a great year for movies, as we know. So Disney Channel had to keep up.
All right. Good pick, Sandra. Not that I would know, but it seems solid.
Okay, Cam. What's going to be your second pick?
Speaking of great movies that came out in 1999, my second pick is Johnny Tsunami.
Hey, now you're cool enough. Going on a sky raid.
What's that?
Well, there's new powder on the back summit.
The fattest runs on the hill, man.
You wanna come?
Can we get busted for that?
Hey, only if they catch us. Urchin's motto, man. Go big, go home.
All right.
This is the story of Johnny Capahala, a young surfer from Hawaii, who is uprooted when his dad takes a job in Vermont, about as far away as you can get from the sun and the sand. Johnny's enrolled in a private school where all of the students are skiers, known as Skies, versus the public school across the town where all the snowboarders are named Urchins. He finds out that he's not well suited for skiing, but after he makes friends with Sam, a public school student, he finds his love for surfing, as it's very similar.
He finds his love for snowboarding.
There we go. Johnny finds his love for snowboarding after meeting Sam, as he compares it to surfing back home in Hawaii.
This is one of the most iconic Disney Channel movies, for sure. I remember this one was one of the ones that also really dealt with real world problems. It was about class and struggle and leaving home and being a transplant. And we see a lot of those themes in other Disney Channel movies later on, which is noteworthy. I think it's important to acknowledge that Disney Channel movies weren't probably the biggest highbrow films ever, but they did tackle difficult subjects for kids and really helped families address that and maybe have a lot of over the dinner table conversations about things like divorce and disabilities and race and grief and an onslaught of important issues.
Absolutely. I think that's probably why many of our picks come from this era, is we were just the right age to be learning about these things. And these movies did a great job touching on some pretty complex topics, I think.
Yeah. So before drafting, Cam and I talked about how we might not be the best people to draft later on Disney Channel movies. And we acknowledge there are some bangers. Like, we probably won't be drafting Camp Rock, I'm guessing, but I've heard it's one of all-time best.
High School Jonas Musical Brothers is not on my list, but
There's some great ones later on. We just happen to be at the right age
for this era.
For this era, yeah.
I kind of feel like our podcast is often like a BuzzFeed list of like, oh, you remember when that came out?
I remember. One other thing from this movie is after seeing this, I decided that I also had to be a snowboarder, just like Johnny Capahala. I had previously been skiing, but on our next trip to the mountains, I made my parents rent me a snowboard instead, and did not have a great day on the mountain trying to falling leaf my way all the way down.
Any broken bones this time?
No broken bones. Just a face full of snow, a lot.
Your parents, I give them all the credit for not canceling the Disney Channel.
I'm a little surprised they let me get away with what I did. Yeah.
To me, you just sound like the most California kid ever.
I just walked around saying Cetus Lapidus, and here you are taking up rollerblading and snowboarding.
I was never any good at them. I just had
you know,
to do it.
You got to try. You never know.
Sandra, what is your second pick?
My second pick is going to be High School Musical.
These Wildcat legends became legends because they never took their eye off the prize.
Get your head in the game!
Now, who was the first sophomore ever to make starting varsity?
Troy!
So who voted him our team captain this year?
Us!
And who is going to get their sorry butts kicked in Friday's championship game if Troy's worried about an audition?
We are.
Guys, come on.
So I was too old to enjoy this movie to the extent that I enjoyed this movie. It came out in 2006, so I was fully a sophomore in high school, but I still occasionally watched a Disney Channel movie. I wasn't watching every single one that got released, but this one was such a phenomenon. I had the DVD. It was great. It was a Romeo and Juliet-esque musical about two high schoolers from different cliques that want to audition for the school play. And the plot, again, not super important, but the music is great. Some of the greatest musical numbers in Disney Channel original movie history. We have classics such as Get Your Head in the Game and Breaking Free and We're All in This Together. And I don't know any teenage girl who doesn't know some of the words to some of these songs. So it's just a classic.
Unfortunately, I can't help you out here because this one's a blind spot for me.
You didn't watch it?
I have not seen High School Musical, no.
That's okay. I mean, you were probably doing much more exciting stuff by this time in your high school career.
I was too busy falling on snowboards and failing as an inline skater.
How do you feel about Zac Efron?
Well, this movie is also noteworthy because it launched several careers. So Zac Efron was just a young kid before this movie. Vanessa Hudgens also got her start in the Disney Channel, obviously. It also launched two sequels, the third of which had a theatrical release. So it was probably their most successful movie and definitely the highest grossing movie for the Disney Channel. It also got stage shows and video games, ice shows. They even had a reality TV show, multiple international versions. The world fell in love with this movie, and it was kind of one of those things that broke away from the Disney Channel and became its own phenomenon unto itself. Also worth noting is that there's a fourth installment coming on Disney Plus.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Of course.
Disney Plus is just reviving everything good for their new streaming service.
So do you want to watch it?
No, not really. Everyone that I know that loved this movie agrees that the second one is potentially just as good. The third one was not.
Not so much.
The fourth one I doubt would have the same cast, and if it did, it would be extremely creepy because these people are very old now. Or by very old, I mean like our age.
Hopefully they haven't been in high school for 15 years.
Yeah. So I don't know if I will watch it, but I don't mind them making it, I guess, is how I'm at with this particular Disney Channel remake.
Okay. Well, that is an iconic pick.
Thanks.
All right. For my third pick, going back to 1999 again, why quit now? I'll be taking Smart House.
Oh.
I'm thirsty. May I have a drink, please?
Sure.
Ask Pat. Pat, may I have a strawberry smoothie?
Certainly, Angie.
Ta-da.
Wow. Look at this. Do you believe that?
Well? Yum. Good.
Listen.
Look.
Oh, no, don't worry.
Floor absorbers activated.
This movie was definitely on my draft board.
Yeah, did I snake this one from you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel pretty good about this one.
This is such a good one.
I feel like everybody our age has seen Smart House. This is the story of the Cooper family who wins a Smart House in a competition. And when they move in, they meet Pat, who's the artificial intelligence running the house.
Played by Katie Sagal.
Played by Katie Sagal, the most noteworthy actor for sure.
Yeah, of Married with Children fame.
And Futurama as well. This movie was ahead of its time. In 1999, it had some pretty insane graphics using a lot of green screen to morph the walls into savannas and oceans and I think Backstreet Boys concerts at one point. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a dance breakdown between Nick and his friends, which is not something that happened with 12-year-old boys.
Not you and your friends?
We weren't a big dance squad, no.
Oh. Missed out.
Yeah. Trouble arises when Pat takes on a more motherly role to the family, thinking that she knows what's best, and kicking out Sarah, the real estate agent that designed and sold the house to the Cooper family.
Well, Pat becomes a hologram that takes the shape of Katie Sagal, and then tries to attack the family and imprisons them in the house. I'm unsure as to how they eventually defeat Pat, but I'm sure it has a happy ending.
It does. Pat moves back into her caretaker role, and the family lives happily ever after.
I think this movie is also great because it's at its core about grief. Ben, the boy who wins this smart house, has just lost his mom and is coming to terms with that, and also coming to terms with his dad dating, and this smart house takes the role of an overprotective, overbearing mother, and he kind of struggles with whether or not he likes that or wants that and gaining his own independence.
So how long until we have Smart House 2 featuring Alexa?
Well, I was going to say.
We're almost there.
Yeah, we're almost there. There's a lot of what the movie posits as impossible. We already have. We have lights that we can turn on and on with our voices. We have items in our houses that talk to us.
The one I can't wait for is the floor absorbers.
Yes.
That suck up anything you spill.
Yeah. But only the things you want them to suck up, right?
Exactly.
Selective floor absorbers. Because it's not like a Roomba that will just pick up anything. Yeah. These floor absorbers would not pick up your diamond earrings. They would know better. Also, there's the iconic arm that the house has, like a metallic arm.
The Dr. Octopus arm.
Yes, yeah. That like pushes people in and out of the house when it starts to go wrong or picks things up for you and brings them to you.
Yeah. I could definitely use one of those.
Yeah. Also a movie that was super future, and that's why I was super into it.
It's super future until you go back and look at it and go, ooh, yeah, that's showing its age.
Okay. Well, that was a great pick.
Yeah, good pick. Okay, Sandra, what you got?
My third pick is going to be a more obscure movie. It's 2000's Stepsister from Planet Weird.
Every time I look at this horrid vehicle, the rubbery flesh, the flat face, the ghastly yellow hair that grows out of this hideous skull, I can only think.
I am grotesque.
The same dream comes to me most every night. I'm back on my home planet of Circalon. I'm once again a beautiful pink ball of gas, floating next to my beloved Fanul.
Have you seen this one?
I have not. This is another one on that's going to be a blind spot for me.
I'm so excited to tell you about it because
this is
one of the most bizarre Disney Channel original movies ever. So I'm gonna give you guys a brief plot summary because it's so good. Megan Larson is our main character. She's a teenage girl who's just trying to fit in and crushing hard on a boy named Cutter. Okay. Cutter, a very popular name.
Of course.
Her world changes when her mom begins dating Cosmo Cola, an alien, and brings his daughter Ariel into her life. On Ariel's home planet, every citizen is a gaseous bubble that just floats about merrily, and they have had to take on human form to be on Earth. So Ariel is very unhappy to be on this planet, and Megan is very unhappy to have her on this planet. So it's a story about blended families with a twist, because now we have aliens, and they do weird stuff. They fear the wind. They really don't like their hair. There's all kinds of weird isms. And then eventually, of course, this culminates in an epic battle between aliens and, well, teenagers.
Who wins the battle?
I can't tell you. You're just going to have to look this up somewhere and find out. But it's neither or.
Oh.
Yeah, because
we've got a plot twist.
Lines are blurred, okay? People become friends, lovers, all kinds of blending happens in this movie.
It's a very complex story for a Disney Channel original movie. It's such a complex
story. This was released in the year 2000. We've briefly talked about this, but this is the year that Disney Channel decided to release 12 original movies, one every month.
Just pumping them out.
It was when you were looking forward to this month's Disney Channel original movie. The wealth of Disney Channel original movies.
We don't even know how good we had it back then.
We really didn't. I think now Disney Channel is releasing 2 a year, and
it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah, when these were coming out at one a month, it was appointment television.
Yeah.
You knew where you were going to be that night.
11-year-old Sandra knew where to be, and that was her couch with her brother. But this was a great one. Nothing to report on any of the stars in this movie. They've kind of just blended into society. But it is a great one. It's a weird one. And if you can find it,
I'll have to catch up with it.
You should find it.
I wonder if Disney Plus will make a big new push to have lots of original, like not the most high quality movies, but just some content to fill things out.
Oh my gosh, if they had their entire Disney Channel original movie catalog.
Forget The Mandalorian. You don't care about that.
I mean, some of the big ones obviously have a lot more of a following and ended up getting VHSs and whatnot, but this one is going to be impossible to find. I don't know of anybody else who's even mentioned Stepsister from Planet Weird, but it's great. Had to call it out. Okay, Cam, what's going to be your next pick?
With my fourth pick, I'll also be taking a movie from 2000, and that is Up, Up, and Away.
I just thought that if we didn't pressure him about his birthday, it would be easier on him.
If I ever thought this might happen, I never would have made such a big deal out of the party. Oh, don't forget your soccer mom today. I have a trustees meeting.
I already rearranged my schedule, 2:45 in front of the school.
Okay. And sweetie, will you hurry up? Just being near this stuff makes me weak in the knees.
I actually didn't see this one.
No.
So you'll have to tell me about it.
So this is the story of a family of superheroes. The father, the Bronze Eagle. Mother, Warrior Woman.
Oh man, the Bronze Eagle. What a great name.
It's pretty great. The father, Jim, is also the director of the movie, Robert Townsend, pulling double duty on this one.
You could argue that this is the original Incredibles.
It's pretty amazing. This is the story of a family of superheroes who, if the children don't develop superpowers by 14, they never develop superpowers. And
what is a life without superpowers?
Exactly, especially for young Scott Marshall, who is 5 days away from his 14th birthday and is yet to develop powers.
Man, what a metaphor for puberty. This exactly. is amazing.
It's a pretty tough watch. He is very nervous about not developing, and his parents don't know how to react to it because everybody else, including his younger siblings, have already developed powers.
I'm telling you, Eric, the themes in these films, they helped us with adolescence. I don't know how you coped. I don't know if PBS did it for you.
There's some great moments in this movie. Namely that, for some reason, their weakness is aluminum foil for all of the superheroes. So when Scott's young friend brings over zucchini bread before school one morning, wrapped in foil, the entire family has a little bit of a breakdown and doesn't know how to react. And there is a scene of them burying it in the backyard, holding it with tongs so that none of them touch it.
Is it aluminum specific or just aluminum foil?
I'm pretty sure it's aluminum foil because I think at one point they get handcuffed in aluminum foil.
I'd be curious if they ever held like pop cans throughout the movie and that was like cool. That would be such a like kids movie oversight.
Yeah. Yeah. We gotta.
We gotta rewatch it.
So even though Scott never develops superpowers, he ends up being the hero in the movie when he rescues the rest of his family from Malcolm, leader of a group called Earth Protectors, who is reprogramming people with free CDs being handed out at schools and other places. It's a very year 2000 concept.
I don't know. That sounds pretty interesting. It's a nice plot, a little subversive in that he doesn't become a superhero, but can still save the day.
Exactly.
Very uplifting.
Exactly.
Batman-like.
Exactly. Still showing you still have worth, even if you're not like everybody else.
Even if you're not as tall as the other boys at school.
I never had that problem.
Oh.
No, I actually got taller first. I developed the superpowers, but then they just didn't become as strong as others. Anyway, okay, Sandra, what is your fourth pick?
Okay, I got to think hard because I don't know if you're going to take this next one, but I think I got to shoot my shot. I'm going to be drafting The Luck of the Irish.
Ooh.
You can't school without an excuse. The coach might not let you play.
An excuse? Okay, first I found out I've been robbed. Now my hair is turning red. Hey, I used to be taller than you. Oh, sans parservas. Oh, yeah, I'm getting shorter.
You're killing me.
Eric, I endorse this.
Have you even heard of the Disney Channel original movie, The Luck of the Irish?
Sandra, I have not.
Oh, my God. You call yourself Irish.
You are missing out.
This is another one that I love because it is so bizarre.
It's bad.
Okay, this one is straight up bad. I didn't look up any ratings purposely because I think it's terrible.
It's got a 58% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, that's not too bad. We've had much worse ones. Armageddon is worse than that.
Sorry, hey, 53.
Hey, Armageddon is a great film.
53%, that's respectable.
Okay, so in this movie, average teenager Kyle Johnson discovers that he's Irish and therefore a leprechaun somehow. Not sure how that they make that jump. In order to protect his family, he has to win a basketball game against an evil leprechaun, like we all do. Obviously, the classic film culminates in an amazing dance scene. Like, what else could you ask of a film? It's like Space Jam, but with leprechauns, terrible Irish accents, bucket hats to hide pointy ears. So great.
It's pretty amazing. My favorite part of this movie is the fact that Kyle wins against the evil leprechaun based on wordplay. The wager in the final basketball game is that if he wins, the leprechaun will have to go back to the shores of Erie. And when the leprechaun makes fun of him for not knowing how to properly say it, he points out that his father is from Cleveland.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
And he's banished to the shores of Lake Erie.
Yeah, yeah. It's a running joke that his mom is Irish and his dad is just from Cleveland. Yeah. And so they keep saying, when he asks his parents where he's from, because he's got a suspicion that he might be different, they keep saying, you're just from Cleveland. Your dad's from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Then his mom turns into a leprechaun and we find out where his Irish comes from.
She turns into a leprechaun and dons the worst Irish accent in the history of Irish accents.
Oh, so cringy.
So are they like tiny leprechauns or just wearing green outfits?
No, she gets shrunk down to about a foot tall.
They're all once you get shrunk down, you're about foot tall. This movie is also about luck and finding your own luck. They have a family coin that's supposed to prevent them from getting unlucky. And he loses the coin and has to go in a search for it and then realizes that he doesn't actually need the coin to be lucky. Which, you know, not the most life-changing of Disney themes, but definitely a classic.
I do have one problematic note on this movie. Kyle's grand... at least one. Kyle's grandfather is named Riley O'Reilly and runs a potato chip factory.
Oh my gosh.
It's not the most open-minded view on Irish people.
Oh no, no. It is terrible. But still, Disney Channel insists on playing this every St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if they still do it, but all of my childhood, this played every St. Patrick's
Like
Day.
Like clockwork.
Wait,
every clockwork.
Wait, I just got to go back. Riley O'Reilly? That's correct. Couldn't even come up with two names that were Irish enough? That's incredible.
But this also, in a similar way to Up and Away, this plays with teenage insecurities and what it's like to develop differently than your peers. He starts getting red hair and a pointy nose and starts getting shorter and shorter and really struggles with that. He struggles with his Irish identity, so it has to do with embracing your cultural roots. It's a little insensitive in the way that it portrays his roots, but in the end, he grows to accept and love them. So we're supposed to accept and love them, I think. Anyway, don't think about it too hard.
Don't look too deeply. Just enjoy the bad Irish accents.
I don't know. This feels like the peak of cultural acceptance of Irish history. It wasn't when we elected JFK.
Nope.
It wasn't when St. Patrick's Day became a national holiday. No.
It was naming a character Riley O'Reilly.
It was 2001's The Luck of the Irish. Okay. It's also worth noting the boy who plays Kyle in this movie, his name is Ryan Merriman, and he was in several Disney Channel original movies, including Smart House.
Including Smart House. They really ran these actors through the ringer.
Yeah. Don't know where he ended up.
Look on a BuzzFeed list somewhere. Where are they now?
Yeah. We'll have to look him up.
Okay. Well, this is going to be your final pick, Cam.
Any
honorable mentions that you want to throw out there before you pick?
I do. I have one that was not valid for this list because it's a Disney Channel premiere movie, and that is Blank Check.
It was Macaulay Culkin-esque, right? He kind of...
It was very Home Alone-y.
Yeah. He kind of runs the show, buys himself a house.
Exactly.
And fills it with all his favorite things. It was every kid's dream.
He takes $1 million check to the bank and gets it cashed in cash out of a vault in the back, which I believe the cash was actually meant for a gangster, which is the conflict in this movie is now he has a gangster's money, which he buys a house that he fills with a boxing ring and robots and has a pool. And
he has friends over.
Exactly. And I was so jealous of this kid.
Who wasn't?
I thought $1 million could buy you anything in the world. And now living in Seattle, it might get you a house.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
If you pick a questionable neighborhood.
Exactly.
Any other honorable mentions?
And the second one is Alley Cat Strike, the story of a bowling team that is fighting for control
equal
of...
Equal rights, correct?
Not exactly. Okay. It's actually the Mighty Apple, which is the...
That was a joke.
The award between their two rival hometown schools, which comes down to the last frame in which the star of the basketball team who was signed up for the bowling team as a prank... Mm-hmm. In his first throw, leaves a 7-10 split that he doesn't think he can finish. But his teammate steps up and says that she knows how to do it because she's a physics expert, sits down on the floor and starts spinning the ball around her finger faster and faster and then giving it a gentle nudge down the lane where it rolls for about 3 minutes before finally hitting a pin and winning the match.
Why aren't more professional bowlers adopting this physics?
I definitely tried it, and all it gives you is an Indian burn on your finger and a ball that doesn't go anywhere.
This is a continuation of Cam tries things from Disney Channel original movies, and I'm here for it.
The results were never been good, but he keeps trying.
I keep trying. Keep pumping out movies. Give me something new to try.
You heard it here first, Disney Channel. But what is going to be your last pick, Cam?
My last pick is motocrossed.
What up, dude?
What's up, Andy C? Did you just, like, teleport over here, man? I just rapped with you on the phone.
You did?
Dude, we just hung up. Those parts you ordered?
The parts, right, yeah. I'm just fired up about getting my motorcycle running again.
Oh, yeah, I heard, man. Gnarly crash. Yeah, not enough to keep you out of the Cup Series, though.
Nah, dude, I'm all over it.
Killer. Yeah. Okay, I'll go get the parts.
This sounds like another aspirational thing that you wanted to do.
Yeah, except this one was even a little bit beyond me, and I never quite got there. This came out in 2001, and it is the story of a family of racers, namely the two kids, Andrea and Andrew, and they're motocross racers. Andrew is sort of the hotshot in the family on their racing team, but when he gets injured, their dad decides to try to find a rider to replace him when Andrea decides to fill in his shoes, but she goes under the pseudonym Andy and pretends to be a boy to fit in with the racing team.
Yes, this movie was great for female empowerment.
It's pretty great. She doesn't do so well at first, but starts rising up the ranks. And the real conflict arises when her dad comes back from Europe for some reason after finding a new rider who is supposed to be the new face of the franchise. He moves in with them and is immediately disrespectful and just an all-around jerk. And so after they start competing, I believe it comes down to a final race where Andy beats him and sort of wins the approval of her family.
In one amazing moment. As always.
Exactly.
Just one overbearing, cheerful moment where every conflict in the movie is resolved.
Yes, as all things in life are.
I'm just waiting for mine still.
In the Disney universe. Mm-hmm.
There's one notable scene in this movie that stands out for me as just a high point of comedy, and that is when Andy is registering for one of her races, and another racer sees that she's wearing nail polish, and he calls her out saying, you know, what's going on there? And she says, oh, it, thinking on the fly, helps reduce vibrations. And later in the movie, you see that all the other riders have adopted wearing nail polish to help reduce vibrations through their handlebars.
I'm convinced that Mean Girls is partially based on this, just because that scene in Mean Girls where everybody cuts holes in their tank tops always reminded me of this scene in motocross where everybody paints their nails.
Yeah, yeah, it's the original.
It's that groupthink.
Yeah.
Mentality. Man. Okay, well, that's a great choice. Good final choice.
Thank you.
And now we've come to the final pick. But first, what are your honorable mentions?
I have a couple. One of the ones that I won't get to draft, but I wanted to mention, was the movie Get a Clue. This movie is about a young girl in high school who tries to solve a mystery. Some other honorable mentions are Cadet Kelly, which was Hilary Duff's kind of vehicle to moviedom, and Cheetah Girls, which wasn't really my cup of tea, but it definitely was iconic, and a lot of people really fell in love with Raven Simone on Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, Cadet Kelly was sort of the first crossover that I remember seeing where they took one of their TV stars and put them into the movie.
Yes, because both Hilary Duff and Christy Carlson Romano had their own shows, and then they came together for Cadet Kelly.
This was the crossover episode.
Yes, everybody loved this movie. I remember really liking it, but I can't remember anything about it, so I didn't feel like I could draft it.
Me neither. I remember Romano being like the drill sergeant, yes, and that's about it.
And Hilary being the new cadet, right, obviously. Other than that, I have two that are just favorites of mine. One of them is Gotta Kick It Up, which is about a group of Latin cheerleaders. It was one of the first times I had seen young Latin women represented in film, and they were all nuanced and goal-driven, and that was really awesome. And then I also really liked the Even Stevens movie, because I loved Even Stevens. It wasn't that great of a movie, but it did have an hour and a half of Shia LaBeouf and Kristen Carlson Romano just hamming it up. And
how can you go wrong with that?
How can you go wrong? Yeah, it's pretty good. But my final pick is neither one of those movies. My final pick is another obscure one. This one is the movie Quince.
Okay, sure. So it takes months and months for babies to arrive. And during that time, nothing really changed. Well, except for Mom's belly. Brad was still a genius, so he was completely happy. And the school, unfortunately, kept giving out report cards. But I knew. I really knew that things would be different soon. You knew it too, didn't you? Good.
This sounds familiar, but I'm drawing a blank. Tell me about it.
Okay, this movie starred Kimberly J. Brown, who was also the star of Halloween Town. Halloween Town being one of the Disney Channel movies that transcended the mm-hmm. Disney Channel. Why am I not drafting Halloween Town, you might ask? Because I love infants more than scary things. That's why. This movie is about a girl that comes to terms with the fact that her parents just had quintuplets, and she's no longer the sole focus of their lives. She's also finding herself and learning what her passions are and trying to voice those. It's a great movie because she breaks the fourth wall a lot. Mm. Ferris Bueller Day-esquely.
Great throwback to last week's episode.
Yes. She addresses the audience, I think, in an attempt to connect with someone. She feels very lonely throughout the film. It's also about a girl who doesn't have a romantic interest and doesn't find one. And I found that really refreshing at that age because it felt like all of the movies that revolved around girls were about them finding love and or dealing with being a girl. And this movie was just about a person who was finding themselves.
It's her own story.
Yeah, it was great. It also had a pretty good supporting cast. And it was released during that time where Disney Channel was putting out a lot of movies. So this one was unique. It's also worth mentioning that the director of this movie directed 21 Jump Street. And that's obviously a great high school TV show. So it has a lot of great high school scenes and a lot of addressing the tension between the different cliques inside her high school. I really liked it.
That's a great pick.
Quince was also noteworthy in its production because obviously there's five babies in the film. But babies in Hollywood are only allowed to work 15 minutes at a time with 20-minute breaks in between. So 20 babies were brought on set every day that this movie was filmed.
That is a lot of babies.
Did they just pillage everyone on the Disney lot? Like everyone who has had a baby, please come.
Wait, and this was very confusing to young Sandra who loves infants because I kept trying to know which baby was which, like which baby was addressed by which name. But obviously this was impossible because they were just using any babies. And now I feel very upset with the Disney Channel for having created this character confusion.
So the Disney Channel could come up with 20 babies to bring on set, but
only seven directors to direct 100 different movies.
Well, this has been a very interesting draft, very informative to me. I mean, overall, if you had to ballpark it, I mean, how many Disney Channel original movies do you think you saw growing up?
That's a good question. Looking through the list, I have distinct memory of seeing probably 25 of them. Most of those are just one iconic scene out of the movie that I can remember, but I'm sure I probably saw closer to 50.
Yeah, somewhere around there, 40 or so. You have to remember, every night the Disney Channel played a Disney Channel original movie at 9 p.m. So if you were watching the Disney Channel at night, you were watching a Disney Channel original movie that was just replaying. So a lot of these movies we just watched on the background or multiple times.
It's really interesting. It's a whole different world where they really prioritized movies instead of TV shows. And now it would just never really be the same. Everything is just TV shows.
Yeah, no one's getting that experience.
Yeah, I think it has to do a lot with a world before streaming where movies were not as available, especially to children. And you can only have so many VHSs. And so or TV movies were profitable. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you can just pop in. Or not pop in.
Pop on.
You know,
pop on.
You know, it is kind of remarkable, like the last vestiges of what we could consider the studio system, but it's just with child actors, but you have your same directors, your same people that you can just bring in, have an uplifting story. It's just reliable.
You got to wonder where our next generation of actors is going to come from, because so many of our generation's actors came from Disney properties, whether it was, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club or Disney Channel original movies or a Disney Channel original show. You know, everyone from Hilary Duff to the Cole Sprouse twins, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, Jonas Brothers, Zac Efron. I mean, you literally go on forever with all of the careers that were launched by the Disney Channel.
We've got Stranger Things now. So
that's true. All right. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for this week. Head on over to our Twitter or Instagram @FirstRoundFlick and vote for your favorite draft between Cameron and Sandra. can also reach out to us, firstroundflick@gmail.com.
Please rate and review us on Apple iTunes and tell your friends about us.
As always, our music is provided by Grant Bennett. Thanks for joining. See you next week.
Bye.
Trying to find clips for some of these to refresh my memory was a challenge. Mostly you got people camcording their own TV.
Ooh, okay, so this is going to be really fun to edit. That's what you're telling me.
Yes. Yeah, good luck.